And I would have been the biggest PG fan in the entire world. Seeing him pussyfoot around with Doc Rivers and having him be a pin guy and this and that.
Yeah. Oh, he was straight up lying, man. He was straight up capping. Like, that we know was that
ridiculous.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You're watching the Business Casual Basketball Podcast. Aaron Washington coming back at you. This is 124. We're in action for the beginning of the NBA season. So glad you guys have joined us on this broadcast today. I would like to present one of the biggest names for Unwrapped Sports. This is Perry Aston, guys, one of the founders of Unwrapped Sports. He does amazing work for us, our leader, our go-getter, makes a lot of things happen for the network, and he's always establishing connections and helping us kind of like further our reach as far as the network goes. So Perry, kind of surprised it's taken this long to kind of get you on the program, man, but better late than never, and I'm glad you're here to talk some ball with me this evening.
I am blessed to be here with you, Aaron. Seriously, talking to one of my favorite people in the entire sports market here on a show that I love. You speak way too highly of me, Aaron. I do appreciate the kind words. I do everything I can here at Unwrapped Sports Network. So obviously, if there's anything you could do for us, check out that ticker on the bottom before we get into some crazy basketball content. You can see all the sponsors and everything down there. I'm not stealing Aaron's intro, but it'll be there throughout the show. So check out everything that we got going on, and you can see my at name right below me. It's just my first and last name. So yeah, I'm super happy to be here talking hoops. I'm pumped.
Yeah, man. The feeling is mutual. So it's time to talk about some NBA season topics here as we get into day two, like I mentioned before, of the NBA season.
Yes.
And the first order of business I wanted to address was some deals that were struck just a couple days ago. These are some players that are not at the top of the food chain when it comes to rookie extensions, like Brandon Ingram and Jason Tatum and Bam Adebayo. Those guys got the bag. They got 150 plus million, approaching 200 million, and for rightfully
deserved.
Well deserved. Donovan Mitchell, I mean, those are cornerstones. Those are guys you build your whole franchise around. There's another tier, though, below that. Guys that are very good, very special, talented players that you want to keep on your rosters, but they're not exactly the type of players that are going to be able to kind of go out there and win your championship on their backs. They're going to be more of these supplemental players, the guys that help out those star players and make things happen for the bigger names in the league. So those are the guys we're going to look at today, and we're going to look at some rookie extensions here, Perry. So for the extensions, there are six names that I wanted to cover here with you this evening, the first of which is going to be Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic. So Jonathan Isaac is one of those very long, rangy defenders we have in the league. His offensive game has taken a little bit of time to get going, but his defense is exceptional. And I had pegged him as Defensive Player of the Year candidate prior to his injuries, ACL tear in the bubble, which is very unfortunate. I think he was just finding his footing and getting back to his old self. But unfortunately, he's going to be out for this season. But the Magic saw the promise in him, and they looked over the fact that he's going to be on an entire season, and they gave him $80 million over 4 years. So we're looking at $20 million annually. I don't think there's any options included. It's a flat 4 years. So I think this is a decent deal. Like, it's definitely a lot of money for a guy that has had injury issues. Right. And he's not one of those guys that has played 70-plus games over his career so far, which is a little bit troubling. But the potential is there, and that's where these deals come in a lot of
the time. It really just depends on the team that you're dealing with as well. Are they in a position to really put a lot of money down on some of their, we'll call, long-shot core players, while other teams going and spending unnecessary money that we'll get to where they are in a position to – you know, really compete right now and don't have that flexibility to go and shovel out the market value for what you just kind of need to do with a rookie, especially when you can let them play out this year and take that chance and put them on a contract year. If you're a spot, we'll mention with the Clippers and other teams like that, where they, you know, tap their foot into the market as well with doing these extensions. But with a team like the Magic, and there's two extensions here. We'll start with Jonathan Isaac, of course. I like that the Magic are investing money into their core. Are they going to compete this year? Absolutely not. Are they going to compete next year? I still have to say absolutely not. But they're in the East, so that is much less far-fetched than if they were struggling in purgatory in the West. That is near impossible to get out of when you don't have the right drafts or the right market to bring in free agents or the right GM like Sam Presti to make magic happen and bring big names into your team without actually having to make a free agent pitch, actually just moving things around, get them there, have them play a year, and then you get to start your pitch instead of just cold calling them on Oklahoma City or cold calling them on Orlando, which is still a marketable place. We're not going to say it's the same thing. It's like, okay, would you rather live in Orlando or would you rather live in Oklahoma City, Aaron? Like, you know, it's...
Yeah. You still got to edge over OKC.
Unless you were born and raised in Oklahoma City, you've never been to Orlando or any place with a beach, you're going to pick OKC. Other than that, anyone with a brain that's traveled a little bit, yeah, I'm going to Orlando. You just had the bubble out there as well. It's a good city for sure. So when it comes down to building the core, maybe not next year, maybe not the year after that, maybe it is the year after that, can you now go pitch to a maybe top tier free agent, maybe second tier free agent? But if you get enough guys in there to buy in, it's almost like the Atlanta Hawks. I think Atlanta and Orlando are similar markets. Both have attractions, both have good entertainment, but they're not LA, they're not Chicago, they're not New York, they're not the main ones, but it is better than Milwaukee's draw. It's better than OKC's draw. Absolutely. So I think now they're setting themselves up to really keep the pieces that they need there to have a team that's worth coming to, like a LeBron James to the Lakers. It's a different market, but they went out and they got all these young guys. They really decided, let's just, you know, grow from within, really try and show that we have an attractive core. Eventually you can go deplete the core for a big star, or you hang on to the core, have them stay there. And that's still somewhat attractive, maybe not to a superstar, but to a star player that's looking for a new place. And I think that would take Orlando to that next step to where they're at least making the East playoffs yearly. And then it's more of an open crapshoot with the East there, where with the West, it seems like you're more locked in. Although the East, I think at the top got stronger, while at the bottom, it's still exactly the same. So as a whole, I don't think the East improved, but I think the killers in the East got even better. But I don't, and the only team, the only team that I think took that next step to launch them in from purgatory into immediate competition is the Atlanta Hawks. And that's because they put together a free agent class that I think the Magic can do in a year or two with this young core.
Absolutely. You went back to the topic of the market that they're in. And sure, it's better than Charlotte, it's better than OKC, but they're still operating from a position of probably a disadvantage compared to a lot of other markets in the league. So for that reason, they had to go out and take chances, like with Fultz that we're going to talk about here in a minute, and Jonathan Isaac. Like, you have to start somewhere. Which is to build your team. You're not just going to like wake up one day and all of a sudden you're in contention. Like, you have to make small moves. Right. Although I wouldn't call these small. These are big investments. But you have to take the baby steps along the way to put yourself in a position to be competitive. And this is what it's going to do for you. Like, the Magic have shown an ability to develop homegrown talents. Isaac has been a fantastic homegrown talent, provided he can stay healthy. And then with Fultz, you know, they got him from the 76ers. He was kind of like a distressed asset a little bit, but with his deal, it's kind of the same thing. Like, they showed faith in him. He's shown some growth and progression since he arrived in Orlando, and they're just kind of expanding upon that. And they're building off of what these guys have shown so far. So I'm with you, Perry. This was a good deal for the Orlando Magic. You can't afford to be stingy and picky. I'm going to extend him, but he's a little bit iffy, so I'm just going to pass on him and let him enter like restricted.
What's the difference for them right now? Like, I don't think it makes a difference. 2 million, 5 million more. I mean, you have to keep these guys in house. Or what's for next? Sure. You know, we're debating if they're even going to compete for a 10 seed this year. If you let them walk, you are.
Where are you?
Worse. Yeah. You are like at the beginning of the barrel. You have no idea where to go from there. I just feel like this is necessary moves for them. While if it was another team in a different position, we could debate the dollars amount and if the timing of the signings, if it's necessary right now. For them, I think what's worse, you know, this right now or whatever, you can't even imagine what's next if you let two of these guys walk and you're playing with, it's not even about getting fans in the crowds anymore. It's just about putting together a prideful basketball team, putting together something that's worth watching and worth building on top of. So I agree. I think these were good moves for their position.
No doubt about it. And while we're on the topic of Fultz, might as well cover him and his deal. He got 3 years, $50 million. Just a couple of days ago as a result of the negotiations. And there's a third year team option included. So if they decide that Fultz is not making the proper progress a couple of years from now, they can decide to walk on him and let him become a free agent. Right. So there's a little bit more flexibility on the team's end in this deal. And I think that's fair He hasn't, I don't think he's shown quite as much promise as Jonathan Isaac. I mean, with Isaac, you know, defensive player of the year potential.
You saw him last year. He went up to like, what, 2.5 blocks a year last year? For the whole season. That's impressive.
It really is, man. And Fultz definitely has some defensive capabilities. There's no doubt about that. But with that jump shot being a question, in addition to being a slightly less impactful defensive player, he didn't have the leverage that a guy like Isaac had. So he got two less years, basically. Possibly one if the option is picked up, but probably maybe two less years and less money annually. So, I mean, it makes sense. But regardless, like watching him in preseason, I don't know if you got the chance to see him run alongside Cole Anthony in some of those preseason games, but he looked good.
He does look good. And he's very fast and he's very quick and he always has been. So when I watch Fultz play, it's exciting. It's an exciting brand of basketball and he's a good basketball player. Philadelphia ruined him. Like we have no idea what happened there or how it happened there, but we saw a guy come from Washington who was another level of player. And then we just saw him fall apart and lose that confidence. And to have I think new faces in new places are so important. That's why people were like, when they were so against this Russ and John Wall trade, I was like, even without that first round pick, just the fact that they're both in a new place is going to do them both so good for their careers and for the team as a whole. So I feel like with Fultz going to Orlando, is there any pressure on you playing for the Magic? I don't think so right now. You're not competing. You are trying to exceed expectations game in and game out. It's not like there's a standard set for you where you have to play a certain way or do a certain thing. The Magic aren't that brand of basketball. They're trying to figure out what they're doing. Since Dwight Howard and Van Gundy and all this like left, there really hasn't been much for the Magic to write home about. Fultz is taking those progressions, though. Like, I am a big statistical guy. You know, 2017, 2018, 7 points, 8 points. You know, it's not impressive. It's not anything. And it's more of the lack of playing time that he was really putting out there. Last year, you know, he goes up 4 points a game, keeps the rebounds the same, goes up 2 assists a game. His defensive stats go up a little bit. That's all you can ask for. At that point of his career, I don't think Fultz is a star. I don't think you think Fultz is a star. If he does, he's going to somehow come back to how it was. But I think you're looking for a serviceable guy, almost like a DJ Augustine that they had last year. If that's his ceiling, I don't mind that ceiling. I think people just have this misconception of Markelle Fultz that he has to be a superstar, just like Andrew Wiggins. But that's what comes when you get drafted that high. But it's just not what he is anymore. I think you just need to taper those expectations a bit. And I think in Orlando is the perfect place to have expectations tapered. And he's now going to be able to try and find himself again, continue building with the team. And I would expect 15 points a game this year, you know, 5 assists, you know, a couple rebounds kind of thing. I expect that at the very least. If you're not seeing 15, 5, and 3 from Fultz this year, something's wrong with the progression, but that's not outlandish. That is right on par with what we're seeing throughout the first 3 seasons. And we can almost scratch 2 of those seasons. So I'm almost counting this as season 2 on the new Markelle Fultz, the new mechanics, the new coaching staff, the new setting. So now I'm excited to see the kind of levels that he takes this year, getting his money too. Cause some people, when they get their money, they go out and they try to prove that they're worth that money. Other people, when they get their money, it seems the opposite. You tend to go down a little bit and the intensity is gone. I tend to see who's a true competitor and who's truly worth that money once you see the year after they sign the contract. That's when you get to really see the kind of player that they are, because they're not fighting for that contract year. They're not fighting for their security for amount of years that they have on the contract. They're fighting for justification. They're fighting for pride and for the team. And that's the kind of guys that I want to lock in.
Yeah, we're going to find out soon enough if Fultz is that guy. Like, now that he has his money and he's made some strides, let's see if he continues to make those progressions and improvements. And the signs are there. They're subtle, but they're there. His effective field goal percentage went up 5% last season. Three-pointers, I mean, it's still not great, but at least he's taking them and he's shown some willingness to kind of like go on a limb with those. His short mid improved. His mid-range game overall improved slightly last year. So there are signs that there is a jump shot. Maybe it's not a deep three, Maybe it's a long two. Maybe it's like
I think it's the confidence. It's all in his head. He's always had a shot. Maybe he's not a deadly 3-point shooter, but a mid range, he's had that in his bag forever.
It's follow him on with Ben Simmons. I'll say that. Just, his confidence is shot. He will not take a three, and that's all here, man. So
I think that changes this year. Watch Ben Simmons change. He's got that new coaching staff. Doc Rivers is a no nonsense kind of guy. I'm a massive Sam Cassell fan as a coach. He's going to be a phenomenal head coach one day. I'm not saying right now, but he pushes players very, very hard. I've seen different interviews with players where they credit Sam Cassell for, you know, really upping their mid-range, really upping their corner shots, really upping their intensity and their give-a-shit meter, where they can really take that next step with them really wanting to work on their weaknesses instead of just the strengths. I do see Ben Simmons taking that next step. I do see Markelle Fultz taking that next step. I do see Jonathan Isaac taking that next step, but I already saw him take that next step last year with the defense and what I'm looking for. If I can get 10 points a game from Jonathan Isaac, 8 rebounds and 3 blocks, I'll take that for his entire career. No progression. Take that his entire career. That is so serviceable.
Definitely, definitely, man. And, you know, we're talking about defense and how much that matters. Like, how about we dive into another player that has displayed a great ability to be a great on-ball defender, perimeter defender. Maybe not at the level of Isaac, but definitely someone that can imitate some of those things. So OG Anunoby is another name we're kind of looking at here. They got an extension. So his is for 4 years, 72, fourth-year player option. I think this is a fantastic deal. He's getting $8 million less overall than Jonathan Isaac. I think he has a little bit farther along offensively. He's actually a bull when it comes to driving the lane and being aggressive. Like, his shot is actually pretty good. You know, I'm not going to blow away the Nets, but he can get to mid to upper 30% range. And he's actually a force going downhill, and he can cause some mismatches with his size. I mean, he's about 220, 225 pounds at 6'7". And I mean, this is a guy that can definitely cause some issues on offense. The only thing with him is like the sample size isn't great. So he hasn't had a lot of time on the ball to make things happen. His usage rate is pretty low. He's been in the mid upper teens. So that's the only thing that goes against him. We just haven't seen enough of him displaying
actions. I mean, are we going to see enough? Are we going to see enough? Absolutely. You saw the holes in the Raptors team now and the volume that's opening up now. Is it the same position for Marcus Gasol and Ibaka? No, but they need to shift their rotations around, shift the minutes around. OG is going to be seeing a lot more of the court this year. He's going to be seeing the ball in his hands when it matters a lot more. You saw him in the bubble. He hit that game-winning three. It was a beautiful pass, a floater all the way to him in the corner. Might have been the most beautiful inbounds pass I've ever seen in my life. Like, it had to be. It was just like a deep pass from Russell Wilson, where you're like, that had to be there and there only. And if it wasn't, that's incomplete. I cannot believe that it made it there like that perfectly. It's just,
and that follow-through too. Yeah, that follow-through. He goes over his head. He just leaves it right there. He's just like, that's good.
Amazing. It is amazing. And he hit that, all the confidence in the world. And shots like that take you to the next level. Shots like that on that kind of platform in those moments take your confidence to a whole nother level for me. So I see OG now seeing an opportunity to play more, have more pressure on himself in a good way. But he's made the progressions that I just mentioned with Fultz. Like, you see him in the 3 years that he's been in the league, going up in scoring every single year, going up in rebounds every single year, going up in assists, technically doubling the assists last year, although he's not an assist guy. It went from a half an assist to an assist and a half. So you're definitely taking that step forward, and it's the defense that took the next level. He doubled his steals and he doubled his blocks last year. What else can you look for when you're looking to give a guy an extension when you lose guys in free agency? You have that money. It's like right now, if they let OG walk, I'm not saying he takes them to a whole nother level, but if you let him walk, I think he takes you down a whole nother level.
Definitely did step back for sure.
Nick Nurse is a phenomenal coach, so I'm not going to say then you're out of contention there. You're not in contention for a championship with OG, in my opinion, and without him, absolutely not. But if you don't have him, I'm debating if they make the 8 seed with you. Like, I'm debating if it's the 7-8 seed. And Van Vliet, Pascal Siakam, and Lowry are not bums, you know, and Nick Nurse is a good coach. So I'd say they'd still make the playoffs for sure. But I'm not very big on the Raptors this year personally. I know we had our season predictions. I personally like the Hawks more than I like the Raptors, and they're probably back to back. And I'd say that I guess is my hot take of the season that people
are about to say. That's a little spicy, man.
It's my little hot take. Yeah, you know, a little Tabasco on it. Not too much Tabasco, just on the tip. But I truly do feel like the Raptors aren't anything to write home about on paper. but that coaching staff is going to maximize every piece that they have. So the Raptors are still going to be there, but guys like OG are the pieces for the future that you need to continue that trajectory forward instead of taking that massive step back and hoping that your GM can pull something out of his ass to make a trade happen or, you know, really hit a home run in the draft. But I feel like you did do very well in the draft with the guys like OG, and it's time to lock those guys up. And you mentioned a team like that that's in more competition than the Magic, and they still saved a couple dollars on him in comparison to the extension. Oh, yeah. So I think that is a great value for them. They're not the Clippers to where, you know, we'll mention that extension in a second, where they're in immediate competition. And it's like, does the rookie extension help you right now to take you to that next level, give you that flexibility? No. But the Raptors, they're, I'm not going to say purgatory, but they're not contenders for me. But they're definitely not in purgatory. So they're like somewhere right there, and they could go either direction right now. And a necessary move was locking up OG. And I do like that a lot. And good for you, bro. Good for you, OG. You deserve that. You've been balling out, taking the steps needed, took advantage of more playing time last year, hit that big shot, which really said a lot about how I felt about his confidence. I love it.
Me too. I love that guy, man. Like, yeah. I had the opportunity to meet OG in Summer League back in 2019. Great guy. Very quiet, kind of like low-key kind of dude. He's not going to go out there and just start harping on guys. He's going to go about his business, get it done. I love guys like that. Let your game do the talking, and everything else should just fall into place. And with the Raptors making this deal, it's another win for their front office and the development staff, because this is a guy that was drafted 23rd overall in 2017. So that goes to show you that the Raptors know what they're doing in the draft, and they know how to bring guys along, whether they're undrafted, late second round, late first round. They're getting the most out of these guys considering their skill set. So I'm so happy for OG. I'm happy for the entire team. And it's a huge win. You know, you lose a guy like Kawhi, and then you can bring in a guy like OG that's not going to be at that caliber, but still, considering where he was and the kind of void that's left over, that's definitely a guy you want to maintain and retain for the long haul. So like everybody really made out in this deal. And I love the value. You know, you got to be cost conscious a little bit. And the Raptors are going to get the most for their per dollar, definitely with OG. So huge win on that front.
I agree.
So we're looking at a great deal here, man. But you and some other people from Unwrapped have been talking about our next deal and really just pounding this team for what they did the other day. And this brings us to the Luke Kennard contract extension with a value of $56 million for 4 years. And that's going to have $8 million in incentives. So on paper, I'll say this, man, before we absolutely just destroy the Clippers in this conversation, I want to say that if he is 100% healthy, and considering what the bench unit of the Clippers needs, I don't think it's a bad deal. The problem is availability. He's averaged, like I counted it up over his, four seasons now that he's played in his career, 40 games average. So that tells you it's like this is not a guy that's been available. He struggled. He only played 26 games last season. But I do like what he brings to the table as far as secondary shot creation. He can actually hit some step backs on those folks a little bit. He's got a three-point shot. He has a little bit of a passing game. The issue is availability. So what's the big issue for you, Perry? Is it availability?
I mean, the best ability is availability is the first thing that I'll knock out of there. So that doesn't bode well for Luke. And is he a star? Is this a guy that we're debating? Oh, well, he doesn't play that much. Like Joel Embiid, the beginning of his career, it's like, oh, he's injury prone. He doesn't play that much. But when he plays, get ready. Like he's on the court. He is taking us to that next level. Luke Kennard, like, that is not a starting five guy. That is a role player guy. You lucky if he sniffs a six-man role. Lucky if he sniffs a six-man role. And that is less of a knock on Luke Kennard right now, because I think this money just doesn't match with, first off, his availability with injury, and two, the team. And let's not talk about Luke Kennard and if he's a good player or if he's worth it. Does he have the tools? I'm a big progression guy. I look at statistics. He did take that next step last year. He did go up in points. He did go up in playmaking. He did go up in defense. I do see that. So it's not like the guy is inept. It's not like the guy doesn't deserve money. It's does the Clippers was this a move that they needed to do? Is this a move that took them to the next level, not just this year, but for years to come? They traded Landry Shamet, who I thought was a much better fit with this team, which is fine. You don't. So you trade him away. You bring in a more 3-and-D guard than Landry, who would be more of a spot shooter, energy guy. He can run the offense if you need him to, for sure. So it's a different player. I guess it's more of a need for the Clippers, if you want to say. But I don't like their point guard room. I think Pat Bev is more of a role player, in my opinion. And I thought having Shamet there was a perfect water and ice, you know, fire and ice thing there with Pat Bev. Although it's nothing to write home about, it was a nice balance. And I don't see that balance anymore either. And with Luke, like. So the Clippers freaked out when Montrezl Harrell left and signed with the Lakers because every player had no idea this was coming, meaning the organization had no idea this was coming. And they had that money sitting there waiting for Trez. I love the Clipper fans when they say, we were never going to sign Trez. You don't think the Clippers wanted to re-sign a guy who completely bought into the culture? He is the reigning sixth man of the year. And you're going to tell me they wanted to let him walk? Hell no, they did not. A report would have came out like that. That's all just conjecture. It's all just bullcrap at that point. You gave Marcus Morris and Luke Kennard a combined $128 million over the next 4 years. And you're going to tell me that you want to compete with the West long term? Because Kawhi's not re-signing unless they win a championship this year or go to the Western Conference Finals and put up a good fight. And they knew that, and that's why they went and re-signed PG. PG had a fantastic game last night for anyone that didn't see. He's with his new trainer. He's been talking a lot of smack, and it's good to see him go out there after just being an absolute – I don't know if I can cuss on the show or not, but just absolutely going the wrong way with Doc and just – I hate seeing that. Blaming Doc, blaming this. Be a man and say you fumbled in the playoffs yet again. You deserve that. And watch me next year because I'm proving that wrong. I am taking us to that next level, and I'm putting this behind me. That is a grown man. I would have been the biggest PG fan in the entire world. Seeing him pussyfoot around with Doc Rivers and having him be a pin guy and this and that.
Yeah. Oh, he was straight up lying, man. He was straight up capping. Like, we know that.
Ridiculous,
you're pulling stuff out of your hat. We know that you did not run more pick and rolls previously, or less pick and rolls. You did run more pin downs. Like, the numbers bear that out.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. So I hate that. And so, and Kawhi is a no-nonsense kind of guy. He doesn't like that crap. The coaching staff with Ty Lue, I don't think is anything special. LeBron James carried him to a championship, and he is not Coach Spoelstra, where Spoelstra had the tools, the everything that he needed to be a good coach, and players like he had helped him take that next level as being a coach and then can continue success with or without those stars. Ty Lue, my man, you are not one of them. I was not on the Ty Lue to the Lakers train. When I heard that, I was freaking out. I said, please, God, no. I beg you to death, anybody. Was I the biggest Frank Vogel signing guy? I wasn't. I was bigger than Ty Lue, for sure. But you don't know the coaching fit till it's there. But I just don't see anything from Ty Lue that makes me feel like he's the right X's and O's guy to take them to another level than Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is a bad coach when it comes to the playoffs. Him and Paul George are perfect for each other. But when it comes to downgrading your coach, that is a downgrade. I do not care what anybody says. If you're a Clippers fan and you're just salty of the fact that you fumbled the bag yet again with two different eras of Clippers teams with Doc.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
I understand. I understand your frustration, and you deserve to have that frustration. He deserves that slander. But to say that Ty Lue is an improvement as an X's and O coach, as a locker room coach, as anything over Doc Rivers means you're an uneducated man. They have the same amount of rings, and at the end of the day, LeBron James carried him to that ring. Maybe you could say the super team with the Celtics carried Doc Rivers to that ring. You could definitely say that because the era of the super team wasn't there yet. They caught everybody off guard, making series of trades. You could say that too, because Doc Rivers' statistics as a coach in the playoffs speak for itself. But he's a fabulous coach, and he's a great leader of men. I love how well spoken he is. And if I'm in the locker room and I hear a man like that say a speech to me, I'm gonna go run through a wall. I'm running through a wall. I'm sorry. So
absolutely,
you know, I'm not bitching about him pinning me.
Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great. until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time consuming, and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it.
But at the end of the day, back to Luke, like, you know, this isn't a team that I see competing fastest. They're not my two seed. I don't see them making it to the Western Conference Finals personally. They could, if they do, they're not winning the Western Conference Finals, I don't believe. But I definitely see a repeat of last year happening yet again. I think the Nuggets took another step forward. I'm a big Malone guy. I think the Blazers improved in a massive way. The Mavericks improved in a big way. I think and the Mavericks almost beat the Clippers in the first round with Luka being hobbled,
Game is scary, sure.
So, I mean, end of the day, Clippers, I don't take them seriously. I don't think they're a joke by any means, but when you're talking about the cream of the crop contenders, I just don't see it there. If it wasn't there last year, I don't see the moves that were made this season to take them to that next level. Ibaka was a fabulous move. I absolutely love that move. So definitely a good one from them, but I'm not a big fan of Ty Lue. The coaching staff is solid that they brought in around him, but I'm still not a big fan of Ty Lue in regards to comparing him to Doc Rivers. And then you obviously move Shamit out of there. And then you spent over $140 million over 4 years to Marcus Morris and Luke Kennard. And if those are two guys that you're investing that much money into, consider that would mean that they are two major pieces to your core. If you're telling me that Marcus Morris and Luke Kennard are two major pieces to your core, you are not a competitive team. You are enough to make the playoffs, but you are not winning a championship, and there is no championships in your future unless you take another step. You have two superstars on your team right now. You had two superstars on your team last year. You had Montrezl Harrell, Sixth Man of the Year, Lou Williams, who was absolutely amazing until the bubble. And then you had all of this stuff there. You had a great team chemistry. The Clippers really had a good thing going. Doc Rivers, you had everything going, and you blew it. And now you took not a massive step back to purgatory, but you took enough of a step back to where, when I didn't think you had it last year, I for sure don't think you had it this year, and you definitely don't have it for the next 4 years, because you invested way too much money into guys that you definitely shouldn't have.
Well, dude, I think that every Clippers fan listening to this podcast here is a little bit triggered now.
Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I love you. But, like, at the end of the day.
No one is safe in that organization.
It's the facts.
No one is safe. Well, when it comes to Luke Kennard, man, it's definitely a lot of money. Same with Marcus Morris. I'm not going to sit here and say that they didn't shell out the bag for these guys. That is definitely a hefty sum. But for L.A., I think it's a different dynamic than if it's Charlotte. Like, Charlotte, I would absolutely kill Charlotte for that Gordon Hayward signing, because it's like, where are you going? Like, what's your ultimate goal? Like, eighth seed? Okay, you're going to spend $100+ million for the eighth seed over the next 4 years. Like, I'm not a fan of that. But with the Clippers, it's a little bit different. It's like, I feel like they knew they're on the doorstep of greatness, the doorstep of a championship. And honestly, I think they were saying to themselves, we were at game seven, knocking on the door to conference finals. A couple of tweaks were there. So let's ship out Shamit, who is a great shooter off movement, more like a J.J. Redick. And let's bring in a guy that can create his own shot, as well as create shots for others, that I think is in short supply. If Kawhi is out of the game, Paul George is out of the game, you bring in a guy like Luke, he can make those things happen for players. And I think he fits a little bit better. Maybe not with, like,
I agree with you for sure. I think he is the better fit, and it's less of, is Luke Kennard on the trajectory to earn that money, and more of, like, if the Clippers let him play this year, first off, he just rotted away in Detroit for the last few years. So the guy's not lavished. He's not have high expectations for what the league provides. You're now in Los Angeles on the Clippers, and you are going to make the playoffs this year. And you let him go without re-signing this extension, and you speak about it at the end of this season. Plain and simple, Luke Kennard, you proved to us that you can stay healthy, that you can perform as a member of the core, not a role player, because we are not going to give that money to a role player. And if Luke Kennard walks, do not tell me you cannot find a replacement for Luke Kennard. Do not tell me that, because you can go find that in the draft, let alone in free agency, dime a dozen for guys, 3-and-D guys that can somewhat create their own shot. Please, the NBA is flooding with those out the basement with guys looking for a contract right now. Do not give me that. And I think that it was the timing of what. So you freak out when Trez walks away, give all this money to Marcus Morris. I get that if Marcus Morris then walks too, your team, Kawhi is not staying, I'll tell you that. And the only way to keep him staying there is by giving him hope that you have guys there that can build with him. And I just feel like maybe Marcus Morris showed that last year when he came to the team. Maybe. Did he deserve that money? No. But that's Montrezl Harrell money is what he got, is exactly what he got. They said, oh, Trez left, so here's Trez's contract. That's it. Because his brother signed for the minimum, the veteran minimum. Are they the exact same player? No, they are not. But they are way too similar to have that kind of discrepancy between their contracts. They share a bank account for their contracts. They share a bank account, and Marcus is putting in that much while Keith is putting in that much and winning rings. Plain and simple. Yeah. Like, it's how it is. So it's less of nickel and diming. It's more of the bigger picture. Like, maybe they needed the moves now, but these aren't one-on-one contracts like the Lakers are doing. They're not signing KCPs and guys like that to inflated contracts where they're 12 to 15 million a year, but it's 1 year or two years to give you that flexibility. That's called GMing. That's called building a team that can compete now, building a culture where people want to continue to buy in and continue to resign, begging to resign and begging to come there on free agency. But year in and year out, you're able to keep the flexibility and do what the Lakers did this season. Go make magic happen without having to do too much. You just have to make a few tweaks, but it's the contracts that you have, the flexibility that you have. You can debate now if the Clippers are going to, but they're locked in for 4 years with PG, Kennard, and Marcus Morris. They are locked in for 4 years with or without Kawhi. So now
they're locked in.
There's so no flexibility.
Yeah, I think I just feel like they're going at it from two different perspectives. I just got done with the fantasy draft before we went on the air, and I saw two strategies. So there were some people that, you know, we have a salary cap format. They blew a lot of money in the early rounds because they wanted to snag Giannis and Luka and Kawhi and the superstars. So, you know, they went for a top heavy roster. On the other hand, some people like myself let those people blow their money early on, save some more money for later on, make some value signings, and fill out the rest of the roster with deep pieces to where, like, you know, your whole roster is competitive. So I feel like with the top heavy Clippers, they just threw the money at everyone that they can find and say, like, hey, take us home. 4 years, we're taking all the risks. With the Lakers, it's like, okay, let's give this guy a 1 year deal. Let's go sign Wesley Matthews for 1 year. Let's go sign Trez for like 1 year, one plus one, and just make those little subtle tweaks on the margins so that if someone gets hurt, because the Lakers know that LeBron and AD are definitely going to try to scale it down because they just got off the bubble run. So if you have that roster with the back end guys that can make things happen, then you're in a good position regardless of whether or not LeBron is available for 70, all 72, or even like 65 games. So it's just different perspectives, but I think they're going about it. Even though they go about it in different ways, I don't feel like that one team just did it way better than the other one. They're similar. They're different strategies, but we're going to have to see which one can really pay off, man. It remains to be seen.
I was just such a big fan of what the Clippers did last offseason and was so impressed. And then to see this offseason building off what they had after a complete fall, Jermichael Green left to the Nuggets and said, pretty much, if you can't beat them, join them. And we are not. there was so much that happened this offseason that you cannot say the Clippers took a step forward. We can debate if they took a step back or not. Definitely. I think we could say, if anything, they're maybe at the same place in a different way, but they definitely didn't take a step forward. Absolutely not. And the Lakers, somehow the rich got richer, like getting two of the sixth man of the year and the second of the sixth man of the year, two guys. You just said to backload the bench, guys that can create their own shot, guys that can play off the ball, guys that can play multiple positions, guard multiple positions.
Yep.
Come on. Wesley Matthews for like 1 year, $3 million. Markieff Morris for the minimum. Like, I'm sorry, guys. Like, we can debate the aftermath of your stuff, but it's chess and checkers, guys. Like, there's a complete, like, it's not the Clippers failed this offseason, but they didn't do near what they could have done, and half the moves were reactionary moves after Montrezl Harrell spurned them and really put and it's crazy. One guy put such a big change in their offseason. I promise you it would have went so much smoother. Guys would have bought in. Marcus Morris would have went for half of that, maybe even the minimum, to buy in and say, let's win the chip. Reactionary moves. Reactionary moves, and now you're locked in for 4 years, and I hope it works out for you. But I'd rather reevaluate year in and year out and know that I have all my chips on the table and I have all my options available to me.
I agree with that. When it comes to Luke Kennard, definitely agree. Paul George, I mean, I get it. Like,
no, I like the Paul George. Go do it.
You can do that. Yeah, but for Luke, yeah. With the injury concerns, I can definitely see why you want to hold off.
Wait a little bit. At the end of the year, if he blows it out of the water, give him a contract. But
yeah,
and he's going to sign in L.A. He's not going to go sign in Charlotte or something. He'll go sign that contract for the Clippers definitely. For sure. I just think it was reactionary per usual.
Every time. That's a fair analysis, man. I can't argue with that at all. So with that being said, man, got that out of the way. You got the feelings off our chest with the Clippers. So we're going to go ahead and move on to some of our season predictions here. Since we don't really have too much time to dive into all the extensions, maybe I can break that into a second part for next podcast. But for today, let's look at some of our predictions that we have for this next season, man. So I want to start with your hot take. So you have the Hawks finishing over the Raptors. So what does the bottom of the East look like, man? Like, what do you think are the teams that are going to be competing for a play-in, for the play-in tournament? And who do you think is going to be free and clear up towards the top of the Eastern Conference?
So I'll go 1 through 15 for you, and that way you can kind of just see how it all lays out. And I think from 4 to 8, it's going to be very debatable with you. I think it's going to be very interesting. And you could call maybe a couple of them hot takes, but it's just more of how I see the trajectory of these teams. Number 1, I have the Bucks, and I know you're a Heat guy, and I do have Heat number 2. So it's not like I'm really disrespecting the Heat in any manner.
No problem with that.
Yeah, right. I just think the Bucks are a phenomenal regular season team, and it's too early to see if they're going to make those improvements in the playoffs. I don't know if Coach Bud is a playoff coach. Like, I think every time he gets there, he goes with the Coach Thibodeau mindset where he has to play his starters 75 minutes a game somehow and not use your pieces. Totally. But maybe the guy learned his lesson. I think Coach Bud is a good coach. And so maybe now with guys like Drew Holiday and making those tweaks, getting guys like Bledsoe off the roster, maybe you take that next step. We'll see. I think regardless, as a team, I see them back exactly where they were last year, at least at the end of the regular season, finishing number 1. The Heat, number 2, deserve that respect. They are running it back, re-signed practically everybody, a signing that goes very unnoticed. Even though Jay Crowder is with the Suns now, Avery Bradley is a very nice addition for them. Like when he's locked in, when he's focused, he is an amazing two-way player. He looks amazing like he did last year. He dropped a ton of weight when he got with the Lakers last year. I see Avery Bradley as a very good piece for the Heat. The Celtics are my 3 seed. I think they take that next step without Gordon Hayward. They've been in 3 out of the last 4 Eastern Conference finals. So these aren't no scrums. You have a good coach. They have tasted how it is to go up to the upper echelon each year almost. And I don't see them relinquishing that feeling anymore. So I see them as my 3 seed. Brad Stevens is phenomenal. 4 seed Nets. I know some people have the Nets as high as the 1 seed in the East. So the Nets are probably the most debatable team in the league right now because of a brand new coaching staff top to bottom. Kyrie fully healthy now. KD healthy coming off an Achilles, which with a normal athlete is a career ender almost, at least sapping your athleticism. For a genetic freak like Kevin Durant, it's looking like he's A-OK, which is absurd. You can't even put your mind around it. I watched him play last night. And I said, Katie got better. I said, what? What? I said, what? Like, this guy is playing with guys. It's crazy. But the Nets are 4. My Hawks are the 5 seed, baby. Ooh, I got 5
spicy, man.
5 seed spicy. Hawks. Ooh, I'm loving it. Yeah, 5 okay. seed Hawks. 6 seed 76ers. That's one that maybe rubbed a few people the wrong way. I do like Doc Rivers, as I mentioned before. I do love Sam Cassell. I do love what they have there. I do love their new GM. I just think it is a year of transition for them in a sense, really figuring out what's going to work between Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, maximizing the most out of each of them, but also figuring out their supporting staff, because that was the problem, finding guys that can consistently shoot from the outside. They were turning to Korkmaz for big 3-point shots. Like, you don't have anybody, and no disrespect to Korkmaz, keep balling out, bro. But that's not the guy you want to turn to. So I definitely liked some of the moves that they made. I like the coaching staff. So the 76ers are the 6 seed, but I definitely can say I might have been a little rough on them. So they could go higher than that. That's not a team that I think is like, for me, the 7 seed Raptors, I think is fair. So I know other people are going to say, well, that's crazy. I just personally think that they're only the 7 seed because of their coaching. I think it's because of Nick Nurse that they make the playoffs.
So you think with someone else, they would be out completely?
Not guaranteed. I'm just saying, I guarantee they make the playoffs within 1 through 8 because of Nick Nurse. He will not let this team not make the playoffs. That's more what I mean, because I think he's a phenomenal X's and O's coach, a great analytical coach, and a very good players coach. I just don't like the Raptors core. I think maybe we could debate Lowry, Siakam, and Van Vliet, who I think are very good players. I don't know if any of them are great, and that's going to be seen this year, I believe. I think Lowry, we could say he's great. I think he's one of the more disrespected players in the league year in and year out. And not just that, he's an absolutely phenomenal defender. Puts his body on the line more than anybody in the league. Leads the league in charges every year. So I'll say Lowry is great, and he would be the best player on that team. And that's a scary thought, to think that you have Kyle Lowry as the best player on your team if you want to win a championship. But if you just want to be a good team and make the playoffs and stuff, that is fine. And Siakam, it's going to depend on Siakam. What I saw in the bubble, man, I saw a player that didn't give me confidence that he's taking that next step. I saw a player that plateaued. I saw a guy, he's not young. He is plateaued. I think it's a guy that's reached his ceiling, and it is a fine ceiling. It is a ceiling that you will take, but it is not a star, and I don't even know if he's great. We're going to have to see that this year, but he's a very good player, and that is fine. Like, what's wrong with that? And then Van Vliet, I think he took that next step too, but can you call Van Vliet great right now?
Yeah, not quite.
Great. I think he still has to prove a little bit more and take a few extra steps. He's definitely a very good player. So it seems like a consistent thing for them. But then after that, what's their team? You tell me what's attractive about the team, because I like OG. I think he's a good piece. You invested a lot into him. Marcus Gasol's replacement is like Alex Len. You got Norman. You got Powell in the starting lineup. So talk to me about what's attractive to you that makes them a top 5 team in the East over a team like the Hawks, who maybe might not have the top 3 players, but are deeper times 10. So you got Rondo as potentially your point guard 3.
They're deep, man.
So what is it about the Raptors that keeps make people looking at me weird? Because I don't get it. So like, explain it to me. And Nick Nurse is absolutely a massive piece for them. So
he's phenomenal. I think it comes down to, I think experience is definitely something you have to take into consideration, and just chemistry, continuity. They've been through the trenches before. They know exactly how they want to play. Ingenious coaching by Nick Nurse is very adaptable. You're willing to make changes on the fly. And then they have players that are willing to just do the little things. They've accepted their roles. And I mean, they have great players across the roster. With the Hawks, I think there's still some question marks, and they're just now starting to.
But you just said great players across the roster, when we just agreed that there are no great players.
What I mean by that is like they have a balanced roster.
But do they know who is balanced on their team? Like, what is their bench?
I like Boucher off the bench. Alex Len is a solid backup 5. He's not anything
special. You got Matt Thomas. Like, these are role players.
They have good role players across
the league. These are 12, 13, 14 guys. These are 12, 13, 14 guys. Like, I between the 3 that we said and the players that you just mentioned, there is nothing. Like, you're looking at the Nets. You are looking at the Celtics. You're looking at some of these teams, the Sixers even, who are deep. And you have nothing in between. Like, you absolutely nothing. Well,
we can't just look at talent at the end of the day. It's how does everybody fit together? It's the
culture too, for sure. But you're pulling Ibaka and Marcus Gasol. You're going to be out rebounded in the biggest way possible. They're going to be one of the worst rebounding teams in the league this year. And it's going to be a crapshoot there. And they don't have the outside shooting to run a 5 out. Like, it is Nick Nurse will figure it out. He'll maximize it. But what he's maximizing, people are giving them too much credit, because they lost Kawhi. Now they lost Ibaka and Gasol. Like, it's mind-blowing. Those three, Oh my God, Gunnar Hurt.
So, to be clear, I'm not putting him in the top three or anything. I have them at six. I have higher than the Hawks, but I have them at six. So
we're at the same spot. I have them at seven.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, we're really in the same boat. Like, I'm not trying to hype them up and say they're going to have an amazing season. I have them at six. So I want to give them some credit. I'm just trying to defend them a little bit. All I want to say is I think they'll be better than the Hawks. That's all I'm saying.
I love it.
They're six.
Aaron's what I need to rein me back in. But I'm just not sold on past those three very, very good players, Lowry being great, and that coach. But other than that, I'm not sold on one piece of that team. And they are not playing they're not playing in Toronto anymore. I don't know if that makes a difference. They're in Tampa or whatever. Not that we have fans or anything. So it's not really going to make a difference, but you know, it's a new setting and it's just a lot of new stuff. You're losing so many big pieces. You're relocating. I just don't feel it in my gut that they have much in them, you know, and the Pacers are my eight seed. So I see them in the same light where they have some very good players. Like, Oladipo is the only guy you can debate with me if he's great, but Sabonis is a very good player. Like, you have Malcolm Brogdon, a very good player, but you cannot tell me that either of them are great. Miles is nowhere close. I don't even think he's very good. I think he's good. You know, he's missed what we thought he was going to be, and he's a serviceable big man, but he's not very good. He's good. You know, he's pretty good. Like, but I just don't see the Pacers taking that next step this year. But I'm a big Malcolm Brogdon fan. I think Brogdon's one of the most underappreciated guys in the entire league. When he's healthy. And the best ability is availability. So, yeah, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. Past that, I'll run through the last ones quick. Wizards are my 9 seed right there. Very close. The Hornets, 10 seed. Same thing as last year. Very close. Not there enough. The Magic, my 11 seed. The Bulls, my 12 seed. The Cavs, my 13 seed. The Knicks, my 14 seed. And the Pistons, my 15 seed for the East.
Okay. Dude, I like the bottom of the East. I think our last three picks are exactly the same. Cavs, Knicks, Pistons. Yeah. So we're in agreement on that one. We don't have to worry about those teams because, yeah, they're going to be pretty bad. So I'm glad we don't have to go into detail on those. But yeah, I'm just trying to just hit on those teams that I think we're in agreement on. Bucks for sure. Definitely have them one as well. Okay. I had the Nets at two. I don't think they're going to rule the East, but I think they're going to be so unstoppable offensively. I think yesterday was a good indicator of what we can expect from them. You have guys like, this is insane, Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert off the bench. Those are borderline starter level players. Like, LeVert, I think, is a starting level player.
They're both starters, in my opinion. They came in
and it's like, they're already up by like 15 or something like that. They come in and then they just layer it on some more with Joe Harris and those guys. I'm just like, they have so many.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So KD and Kyrie can be off and they still have a chance to just outscore the opponent.
You literally saw it last year.
Saw it in action.
You know, they're fine. And now they have two superstars where it's like, come be 80% of what we expected. And we're still fantastic.
That works. That's my argument number two. I don't think they're going to win the East. I have Milwaukee actually winning the East. I think they'll figure out a way. But yeah, I still have some questions about the Nets being the best team in the East. But I think they're going to be up there competing for it. Number three, I had Miami at three. So it's kind of surprising. I had them lower than you.
I respect it hard.
Yeah. I try not to let those feelings get the best of me. I know we had a great run in the bubble. There's definitely going to be some coasting moments from Jimmy Butler and maybe Bam. Middle of the season, there's going to be a little bit of regression with maybe the quick turnaround maybe starting to hit them a little bit more. But at the end of the day, they still have an amazing culture, an amazing offense. I think they have one of the most beautiful and well-executed offenses in the league, one of the best coaches in the league. You know, the depth is there. They have young guys. They always have somebody in the pipeline. Like, now we have Kaze Opala and Max Stauss in the pipeline, guys that did not play last season at all. Now they're coming in and they could be a rotation player. So they just have so many pieces that I think will allow them to remain in the top three or four in the East. Number four here, man, I believe I had, the Sixers. Yeah, I had Sixers at four. So that's definitely one that could, I've seen it as high as like two all the way down to six. So it really just depends on how Ben Simmons. Yeah, I mean, it could end up being right, man. Like you said, like, we don't know how these pieces are going to fit together. On paper, it looks great. We just have to kind of wait and see how they all gel together and how they make that happen. And then looking forward, I have Celtics at five. That's a team I might be a little bit harsh on. That's one I'm willing to admit I might be wrong on. I just think that maybe Tatum and Brown start to – the weight of just how much they have to carry from night to night could impact them a little bit, but we're going to have to see on that one. Raps at six, I think we're kind of in the similar range. I just think they would be a little bit better than the Hawks, but, you know, that's a conversation for another day. Pacers at seven, definitely at the bottom of the East along with you. Hawks at eight, Wizards at nine. So I think I also have the Wizards missing the playoffs by just that much, mm-hmm. being in the conversation, followed by the Bulls, Magic, and Hornets at 10, 11, 12. So when, once you get lower, I think things start to get a little bit more in focus. Like, we have similar right. picks. But two through like six, man, is going to be so fun to watch, man. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of jostling and bumping. And
I think my 76ers this year, I think, is your Celtics, you know, where we might be a little harsh on them. And they're we're not skipping out on them, but still right there on that like 4, 5, 6 seed kind of area. Yeah. And then I know for me, my team's the Raptors. That's not looking like they're going to do the best. And for you, it looked like you were pretty close to my mindset with the Pacers as well, where they're just right. Pacers and Wizards, really. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them knock each other out, because I'm not convinced that the Pacers are a playoff team either. They didn't do anything against the Heat in that bubble. They didn't do anything in the season.
Like, who do they really add? Okay. I mean, they might have added some couple of guys at the back end of the roster, but their roster is almost exactly the same. This time they didn't have in the bubble, but I don't really think that changes their fortunes at all. They're still looking at like a good team, a little bit better than average, but at the end of the day, there's nothing really significant about what they're going to do here, man. So, dude, Pear, I would love to go through the West and some of these other picks with you. I just don't think we have the time in this installment to get to it. But what I'm probably going to end up doing is splitting this into another part and diving into this in another installment and getting into that. But in any case, man, it's been fantastic. It's been a great time just discussing these teams with you, some of these recent signings. It was a great time. And, you know, I love the conversation you brought to the table and, you know, throwing out some hot takes and really letting speaking your mind, man. Like, that's something that really brings some flavor to a podcast. So I'm all for it. And I really appreciate you just being around to just bring that flavor, bring that fire, man. I love it.
Of course, man. No, I just feel so blessed to be able to be here talking hoops with you, having hoops back so quickly. I'm sorry if I offended anybody during this episode and your particular teams. I do have strong opinions on certain things. End of the day, we're all making predictions. We're all just giving our own opinions. Exactly. I know my Clippers fans are just like triggered right now watching me. Like, please get off the screen. But end of the day, the basketball is going to speak for itself. You know, they're going to take some of our takes, make us look like fools. We're going to look like geniuses on a couple other ones. So end of the day, we're all just poking at what we all believe is true. And it's all just hypotheticals at this point. We're going to all watch it unfold. I'm just so happy to have the season back. Have you guys tuning into Aaron Weekly, tuning into Unwrapped Sports and all the stuff that we're doing here. Obviously, our live streaming is our niche, and have our live lineup with Aaron as one of the shows on there. I'll be joining the live lineup with the show soon, still in the works with a few different details that I'm working out. But tune into Hoops USN, our basketball page. You'll see Aaron on a lot of the panel style shows. And we have the new show Count the Bucket with Andrew and Amber. I know for a fact you'll see Aaron on there as a guest. So you need to be paying attention to specifically to our basketball content this year, especially being on this show. I'm going to speak to that. Hoops USN, you need to check that out. Unwrapped Sports on Twitter and Instagram. Unwrappedsports.com. We're on TikTok now. We're on YouTube now. We're on Twitch. So I don't care where you are. I don't care where you are. Find us, you know. Go find us. Comment on our stuff. Tell us that our TikToks are stupid. But, you know, we're giving an attempt out there. We're having fun. We're doing it together. And that's the main thing here. It's keeping that team strong and having guys like Aaron that make everything that we try to do possible. So absolutely blessed that you asked me to be on this week. Blessed that you're part of the network. And blessed to have everybody that's tuned in today and to have basketball back. Let's get it. It's going to be a phenomenal season.
Yes, sir. We are definitely happy to have hoops back in our lives because it's something that we love to just talk about. And regardless of the situation, we're going to make the best of it. And we're going to be on here every week, almost every day, participating in this conversation, making things run, and hopefully giving you guys a little bit more insight and making these a little bit more entertaining. So for Business Casual Basketball, you know where to find us, BC Basketball 2 at Twitter and Instagram. BCBasketball.info is our website. We have some season predictions going up on there right now, a bunch of new features coming this season. So be sure to keep on the lookout for those new features coming your way in the coming days and coming weeks. So glad you guys had the opportunity to join us today. Be sure to come back next week for some more NBA analysis and breakdowns. And as usual, enjoy this NBA season, guys, and we'll be coming back at you on this podcast with some more NBA conversations.
Bye, guys.